In the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Lord and Master, dear fellow disciples, the teachers in the news from Wisconsin these days are nothing like the teachers I had in public school when I was growing up. If you said you were sick, you better be sick. Finishing your work was not an option. In fact, I remember very well, if we got in trouble with the teachers at school, our public school teachers, good rapport with the parents, because the parents would just make it doubly difficult when you got home. It's true. I think probably different for most of us, what we remember from the teachers that we remember and love compared to the ones with the microphone and the loud voices. If you didn't like your assignment, you were not allowed to sit in the corner and pout or protest. No, you had parents to answer to at home. Would you not agree that life is different now? I just remember how it was. You know, it wasn't, for me at least, growing up in school back then, it wasn't like we had to wade through snow drifts up to our armpits, because on the Oregon coast it rained all the time. But you can ask my sisters. It was literally uphill both directions. What if all the angry teachers and administrators and politicians and labor unions and all the bosses and all the workers, what if they would listen to lessons from the master teacher? Do you think that life would be different? Can you hear them? When some preacher in a little church in Minnesota says something like that, can't you just hear the voices coming back? You're living in a dream world. What are you, from another planet? Get real, preacher. You can just hear them. You're not in the real world. I will confess there is an element of truth in that. You and I are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Yes, we are. There will not only be no longer death or mourning or sorrow or pain, there will not be the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the downright greed on the sides, both sides of the pointing finger. Isn't that what's amazing? The ones that yell the loudest about materialism and greed are no different than the ones they point to. Lessons from the Master is where we need to go. Because these lessons in the Sermon on the Mount are not here to tell us how to earn our way into heaven. We prove over and over again we can't do that. In fact, Jesus, last week and again this week, is really turning on the bright lights of his law to let us see very clearly that none of us can give God what he demands. No, we need our Lord Jesus Christ, and in his love, he gives himself and then teaches us these awesome lessons from the Master. Lessons that we need to learn today. Now, I have to tell you that the negative Bible critics, they hear this quote of Jesus in Matthew 5:38, and this is where they start getting really educated on us and really telling us what we all ought to know if we weren't just such old-fashioned, superstitious Bible believers, okay? Because they'll tell you, they figured it out. In fact, you can check it out on the internet. Moses seems to be quoting from the Code of Hammurabi. Moses was 1500 B.C. Hammurabi was about 1700 B.C. And in Hammurabi's code, it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, study your Bible, and there are times when the Lord has his writers quote from outside sources. And the Holy Spirit puts his stamp of approval on that as true. It's the Holy Scriptures. Now, Secular humanists, they're going to hear this and it sounds really harsh. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Sounds harsh. But if you look at the utter violence that was in the world, especially before the time of the flood, in Genesis chapter 6, when it says how angry that the Lord was that he destroyed the whole world by water, it says the earth was exceedingly violent. You get the impression from ancient records that if somebody took out one of your eyes, you were entitled to take both of his. Many teeth in vengeance for one. So the Lord, through Moses, is putting his stamp of approval on fair restitution, where the punishment actually matches the crime. And what the Lord was saying through Moses was actually merciful in those days. This was making lawless people into a law-abiding society under God. But did you notice? It didn't really get to the heart of the matter. Jesus says that's not enough. You have heard by people of ancient times an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, God's own Son comes to this earth and he goes from what's outside when the light finally shines on it, which is bad enough, and he looks in our hearts. He says, that's not good enough for God. I tell you, do not resist an evil person, and then goes into the details. Do you think he's serious? Is that possible that he seriously means this? When you're reading in Meditations this week, our devotional booklet from Northwestern Publishing House, that's the question that runs throughout the devotions this coming week. Is Jesus really serious? So, someone hits you on the right cheek, you actually turn the other one? Or, says tunic and cloak here. Well, I don't have a tunic and cloak, a better translation would be somebody wants your shirt, give them your coat too. Is Jesus serious about that? You're kidnapped for a mile? You're actually supposed to go too? And the matter of giving and lending is just for the asking? Jesus really serious about that? You know, you heard in the Old Testament lesson where God gets this all started and how serious he was with his people out there in the desert after he tells them about the great day of atonement and the forgiveness of sins. He comes back in Leviticus 19, we heard it. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Why does this sound so unrealistic for people who live in the real world? Because our feet and cheeks and prayers are like our ears and our hands, all tainted with sin. We're not holy. We don't get it. Doesn't make sense to us. People will ask the question, well, why doesn't God just accept us the way we are? It's kind of like, you remember when you were little, I don't know, it happened with me. You know, if you ask too many times, why, Mom? Remember the answer? Why, Mom? Because I said so. Why, God? Be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Is he serious? Must be. He sends his Son to say the same thing in the last verse of this text. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. The reason it doesn't resonate with us or doesn't sound reasonable is because we're earthbound and sinful, and that proves it. It just shows how far short we really do fall of God. We don't have it. We don't understand it. Sin makes as little sense to God as it would make sense for us to invite those turkeys wandering around out there and making such a mess of our sidewalk. Just invite them in to make a mess of our carpet. Why not? Because I am holy. You be holy. God is very serious. Watch him. Just watch him. He was struck on the cheek. And he had the power to put a stop to it. With a word, he knocked that mob back in the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell to the ground just when he said, "I am the one you're looking for. I am." What did he do? When they struck him on one cheek, he turned the other cheek, and he did it again and again and again. From the cross, in agony, he watched them take all his clothes and divide them among them, the soldiers, except for the undergarment, the tunic, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Oh, they cast lots for that. Lottery right there in front of the cross. In all that agony, that bloody suffering, he has one prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is God serious about his holiness? How do you doubt it? But you see, in God, when he comes in the person of his one and only Son, that he did not just come to be a good example. He came for the same thing that Moses was talking about in other verses of Leviticus 19. He says, "I am the Lord who makes you holy." And all those sacrifices given in the Old Testament would point ahead to the ultimate sacrifice of God's own Son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world so that he could give to us the holiness that he demands. Oh no, he's not kidding. He is absolutely serious as heaven and hell. Life and death, slavery and freedom, light and darkness. "I am the Lord who makes you holy. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And he did. And I don't. And he wants me to see that. He wants me to realize, rather than self-righteously watching the news and thinking about how bad people are, whether it's labor or management, whether it's teachers or students, instead of looking and condemning, to look and say, "God, forgive me. I was one of those who, with my sins of arrogance and materialism and greed, put you on the cross." He wants me to see that I don't love my enemies as I ought to. You know, we've all had teachers that we loved and admired. And I was in public school until eighth grade. The tougher teachers are the ones I remember that really taught me. And I can remember one public school coach that drove me 45 minutes home so that I could play basketball in town. And it wasn't because of anything I put on the scoreboard. But the teachers I really appreciate in my heart of hearts were the ones in the Wisconsin Synod Ministerial Training School high school, college, the seminary, that could bring God's word into the classroom. Because in the classroom, they can correct those foolish ideas that we come up with when we really ought to know better. We were having a discussion, I remember, at Northwestern College, it must have been in history. Something about the Soviet Union, I just remember I made the foolish comment about how I was glad when they suffered because, after all, they're our enemies. There was silence in the classroom because, you know, you hear a Christian say something stupid like that and you know, it sounds good maybe to the person that said it, but everybody else is listening and thinking, "What?" The professor, Don Selno, his son David teaches at Martin Luther College in New Ulm now, but Don Selno did not blow up at me. He didn't even bat an eye. I just remember him very quietly, enough for everybody to hear, saying, "That's your sinful nature talking." And then he went on with the lesson. I don't know if a year after that he would even remember that incident. They often forget that. But a teacher like that, immersed in God's word, that also knows his teaching material, that can tell you that in class, I remember it to this day. I have never said something that, like that again. And when I have been tempted to think that about my enemies, I am remembering, hey, that wasn't just my teacher telling me that. That was my master teacher, my Lord Jesus, speaking through him as surely as God is pleased to teach me his lessons today and speak through me. That love goes on. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And if you wonder where this comes from, then look outside in any weather. It's coming. They said so. It's the weather coming. Here we go. Any day of the week you can see this. I mean, it doesn't matter if the sun is shining or snowing or if it's raining. Just look around you. Let's say it's warm and the flowers are blooming and the bees are buzzing and it's just really a wonderful time to actually live in Minnesota. And you're just really eating this all up and you're walking down the street. Now, where is that sun shining? You only get the sun on the homes and gardens of the sincere Christians? Or do all the hypocrites and convicts and drug addicts and lawyers and politicians, do they all get the sunshine too? He makes his sun shine on everybody. They get that warmth. They get the blessings. Even if they only know his name for cursing and swearing, and they will not recognize him as the creator. He is the creator. God is love. And there's the sunshine. And the rain? You can't walk down the street in your neighborhood and look at the dry lawns and say, well, those are flaming unbelievers. You know, look at my lawn, it's green. The rain comes for all across the land. And an inch of rain across a mile, so many millions of gallons of water, just boggles your mind. How the Creator loves. And he can give all these wonderful blessings in just a rain shower or the snow. Give us a melt that's really serious in the middle of winter. How many homes did he save from flooding when it finally does warm up for good? Do you think about that? Down the river, oh, down the river, oh, down the river we go, where it all goes out into the Gulf finally. We have to have those blessings from God, and he knows how many inches that rain is going to come up in all the floodplains across the land. How would we understand all that if God did not send us his Son to open our eyes and let us see? Otherwise, I've got nothing except what these two eyes can see around me, and they don't see all that well up close or far, and they don't see beyond these walls. But my God, my Creator, does he not have a right to demand of me that I love my enemy as myself, since that's the way he is? Does he not have a right to demand of me that I love in such a way that it actually means something practical, that I help those in need with what he's given, since that's what he does? Does he not have a right to demand of me that I in kindness turn to those who hate me and pray for them with sanctified, God-pleasing prayers, because God's Son prayed for me when I was God's enemy and when I still am at times? Mercy triumphs over judgment. His kindness never fails. My feet, my cheeks, my prayers, yours too. All meant for God's glory. Yeah, we're heaven bound. We look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. But here and now, the Master teaches us how to respond to his love with love. How to respond to anger and bitterness and hatred with love. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. This is Romans 12. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, if it is possible. As far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And when you do, everyone can see what you know by faith. You are children of the Heavenly Father. You have Christ's perfection by his declaration. Now let us live up to what we have already attained. In Jesus' precious name, amen.